Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, the CPM Group comes out with a lot of good content, content that I watch on a regular basis in terms of your YouTube channel and also some of the articles that you send out to everyone signed up for your email list. And it really helps to get a handle on what you guys are paying attention to, big picture wise, for especially the precious metals sector, but you also do dive into some other areas. Right now, though, starting off broadly, when it comes to precious metals, in your eyes, what are some of the key factors that investors need to be aware of, these overarching themes for the precious metals?
Well, I think that, you know, I'd list four things, you know, and the first one is obviously the Russian troops massed on the Ukraine border. And the potential for, whatever happens is not going to be good. You know, what's already happening is not good. And whatever happens going forward is not going to be good either, I think, for the world or for Russia. And so it's a matter of how we go forward on that. I mean, so the Russian-Ukraine issue is the first one. The second one is interest rates, rising interest rates. And you know, there's a lot of confusion as to how fast interest rates will rise and what the effect of rising interest rates will be on the overall economy, other financial markets like stocks and bonds, corporate bonds, and gold and silver. The third one is inflation, which has risen, and there's a lot of attention as to inflation has risen. And it's really risen since last February. So it's been 12 months of rising inflation and higher inflation. What's that all mean going forward? And then the fourth one, which is really the distillation of those three, is what's happening with investment demand. You know, what's going on with investors? Because, you know, how do international political issues, domestic political issues, interest rates, inflation, other economic conditions. How do those things affect the price of gold? And the answer is they influence the price of gold primarily through investment demand. Investors get concerned about those things, they buy more gold. Investors don't get concerned about those things, they don't buy more gold, you know, and the price is flat. And we're sort of going through a period right now where people are saying, well, why isn't gold rising sharply? While other people are saying, okay, gold's already high. It's at 1865 as we speak. That's a high gold price, you know. So maybe gold is already reflecting higher inflation and international and domestic political concerns. So we pay a lot of attention to what are the flows of gold going into ETFs? You know, what are the flows of gold going into China, India, other investment markets? How many gold coins are people buying? Not so much the rhetoric about it, but the actual volumes, because I think that ultimately is what matters.
Well, Jeff, that really sets the table nicely on those four different areas. And I like the fact that the CPM Group really focuses on data more than emotions and sentiment like so many traders do. But let's get into one of those four areas, and that's inflation. You put out a piece recently discussing that there is a difference in the annual inflation and the month over month inflation. And I wonder how you see those trends developing and how that may affect the precious metals.
Right. Well, most people are looking at year over year data. And right now, you know, you have headline inflation at 7.5%. You have core inflation, ex food and energy, at 6%. And it's pretty high. But and that is a problem. And you know, prices are not going to fall, probably. But the question is, what happens on a rate of change? And we look at the year over year data, but we also look at month to month. And if you look at month to month, a year ago, it was 0.2% increase, 0.3% increase in core headline inflation month to month. And then, you know, starting in March, April, May, it got higher. It got up to 0.9 in July of last year, June of last year. It came back off in the third quarter down to about 0.4 or 0.6, if I recall correctly. Then it picked up in October, and then it came back off in November, December, and January. So if you look at it on a month-to-month rate, what you find is that you're getting a better handle on what's actually happening now in the month, as opposed to, well, where are we today compared to where we were a year ago? So you have these very high figures for year-over-year data. And the year-over-year data is, you know, one of the interesting things that people tend to overlook is in January of 2021, we were coming out of a lockdown. The vaccines were just starting to roll out. And you had headline and core inflation of about 1.2%. So you had pretty low inflation figures back then, you know, and then it started to pick up really in March. And it, like I said, it got high to a peak in June, came back off. And then it started rising again in October. And that's important, but what we look at is the month-to-month change. And now it's down to 0.6, which is still very high compared to, say, 0.4 in February of last year, or 0.2 in January of last year before the inflation really started to pick up. But that feeds into our analysis that as we go forward over the course of 2022, especially in the second quarter, you're going to see much lower year-over-year data in the calculations, and it's just arithmetic. You know, you had a high, you had a sharp increase in prices last year, coming out of the recession, coming out of the lockdown, coming out of the pandemic, vaccines reopening economies for a while, and looking at the second quarter of 2021 over compared to the second quarter of 2020, when we were just going into the lockdown, yeah, prices were rising very sharply because we were coming out of the lockdown and people were buying stuff and services again. Now, when you get into the second quarter of 2022, those people who are looking at year-over-year data are going to be saying, well, okay, we had very high prices in the second quarter of 2021, and prices are still high, but they're not rising as sharply as they were. So you'll see a much smaller percentage change, CPI year over year, probably starting to emerge as early as March, which comes out in April, but really picking up over the course of the second quarter into the third quarter. So we think, you know, that what you're going to find is first just pure arithmetic. You'll see lower inflation figures on a year over year basis. You'll probably see some decline in a month-to-month basis, too, which will reflect continued economic expansion and hopefully better economic conditions. And then you'll also see some anti-inflationary pressures coming from the monetary side. You still have extremely stimulative fiscal policy, and you still have the risk that something like a Russian invasion of the Ukraine can upset the apple cart, and you could have continued high inflation for a time. But there are any number of indicators that if no one upsets the apple cart, you will see lower inflation figures second, third, fourth quarter of this year. And that might take some of the wind out of the gold price.
So, Jeff, what we constantly hear from the precious metals community is that real interest rates are what matter. So balance out inflation with the underlying interest rates. And quite frankly, we are in drastically negative territory, have been in negative territory for a long period of time. And I understand the argument that it is more about direction. But from a longer term standpoint, when you have negative interest rates for as long as they have been right now after inflation spiked, I'm sure a lot of precious metals investors are saying, why isn't that helping gold? I realize gold is flat, moving right around 1800 and has recently got a bump, but still, deeply negative interest rates, those should be consistent drivers for gold.
Okay, well, first off, yeah, we are in deeply negative rates, and that is supportive of gold. The low nominal rates are also supportive of gold. But what you really have to do when you look at interest rates is say, why are interest rates rising or going to rise? But first, before we do that, let's talk about where we were. We have, you know, if you look at treasury bill rates, we have had negative treasury bill rates, short-term treasury interest rates, really since 2008, 2009. You know, we've had a couple spikes where we went positive, But we basically have been in a period of negative real interest rates on a short-term basis with treasuries for 12 years. And the Fed says, let's be honest, we're probably going to see negative real interest rates for the next decade. So that is, in fact, supportive of gold prices. Now, the second thing is, okay, we've got inflation over the last 12 months or so picking up, which has increased the level of negative real rates. But the gold price, you know, basically hasn't continued to rise after it spiked up in August of 2020. And the answer is right, because it had already risen. I mean, if you go back to 2019, the price was $1,200. It went up to $2,000, a little over $2,000. It's at $1,865. The gold price is what? 50% higher than it was 3 years ago. So you already are seeing the effects of negative real interest rates, low nominal rates in the gold price. But the third thing about interest rates is what's really, you know, yes, real rates are important. Nominal rates are important. The rate of change and the level of interest rates also are very important. And what's causing interest rates to rise will be important too. You know, you have these two trucks racing down the road. One is inflation and one is interest rates. And investors have to decide which one they think is going to win. If they think that inflation is going to beat the Fed, and a lot of gold bugs do that, you know, a lot of gold bugs have been saying for 40 years that the Fed has lost control, and it hasn't actually lost control yet. Yeah. I mean, it's gotten a lot faster, the speed, but it still, you know, seems to be doing it. If investors collectively, not the gold bugs, but the broader financial market, if investors collectively think that inflation will beat the Fed, gold prices will go much higher. If investors collectively think that the Fed can bring inflation under control, then in gold prices don't necessarily go higher, and they actually could fall back. So I think that that's one of the key races that you're looking at. And one of the things that we're saying is, you know, just arithmetically, inflation, the rate of change of prices, i.e. inflation, is likely to slow dramatically over the course of the middle part of 2022. And that is going to feed into the narrative of mainstream economists that are saying, no, the Fed can control, bring inflation under control. Now, I think a lot of overemphasis is attributed to the Fed. And I think people think that these guys are all powerful and all omniscient, you know, but they're not. They are a critical component in the mix. But there are much broader economic trends that fuel into inflation and interest rates, and there's fiscal policy and there's international effects. So, you know, the Fed has a lot of power, but it's not all powerful. And I think that that's one of the things that I think people have imbued too much power on the part of the Fed. And then they say, plus, you know, okay, the Fed is all powerful, plus it's incompetent. Well, I hate to tell you, but the guys at the Fed are a lot more well-versed on economics and macroeconomics and monetary policy than the people who have been saying that gold's going to $10,000 for the last 40 years.
Some good points there, Jeff. And they're not all powerful, but they do have a heavy hand in the markets. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the rate of change with inflation just on its own macro drivers. But let's move over to the investment demand side of things, kind of that fourth area you talked about. And in particular, not just the retail investment demand, but I know the CPM Group also tracks what the central banks hold. I'd love you to share kind of both ends of it, from the retail side to the central bank side.
Yeah. Well, on the retail side, and not just the retail side, but also the institutional side, we're seeing healthy investment demand. It's not skyrocketing compared to where it was, but it's staying very high. If you look at investment demand, you know, it was 18.5 million ounces private sector investment demand in 2018 and 2019. And like I said, you know, the price was $1,200. Then it more than doubled, and it got up to 43 million ounces in 2020. And the gold price rose 50%. That's when it got up to $2,058. on an intraday basis or on a settlement basis. Last year, we estimate it was about 39 million ounces. So still very, very high, but off a little bit from 2020. And the price reflected that. And this year, we're looking at about 38 million ounces. So still very high, but not as high as 2020 and a little bit less dynamic than 2021. So that factors into our gold price projection, which is a move sideways. So we're looking at investors continuing to buy gold. They're concerned about inflation. They're not concerned about rising interest rates or interest rates getting so high that investors don't think that gold makes sense. They're very much concerned about domestic politics in the United States, Europe, China, and other countries. They're very much concerned about international politics. They're concerned about the rate of growth in the overall economy. They're concerned about falling trade, which is very important to long-term economic growth. They're concerned about a lot of things, and they're going to continue to buy gold. Central banks, meanwhile, have been buying more gold. You know, they went from about 8 million ounces in 2020 to about 11 million ounces last year. And we think they're going to be about 11 million ounces again this year. And it's interesting because what you're seeing is you're seeing other central banks as buyers compared to central banks that were buyers traditionally. So, you know, over the period 2008 to 2020, Russia was the big buyer and China was also a big buyer. And then Kazakhstan was in there as a third large buyer. Russia has been out of the market as a buyer since April 2020. And China has also been out of the market. But you're seeing other countries come in as buyers, Hungary, Poland, India. And you know, that's a more positive thing in our view, because what you're finding is you're finding a host of central banks saying we would like to have more gold in our monetary reserves. And I think that's probably more positive than having just one or two large buyers.
So, Jeff, when we talk about investment demand, we do focus a lot on central banks, but we also hear a lot about funds or generalists. And then there are some commentators that say it's retail that needs to come into the market that can help drive the price higher. In your eyes, what actually does drive the price higher? Obviously, it's buying that comes in and larger players. That helps. But a lot of the time, these larger players, they're very strategic with how they buy so that they don't drive price too much out of, let's say, their target price range. What in your eyes actually does drive the price of gold when it comes to investment demand and these, in quite frankly, different groups that can be buyers or sellers?
Yeah, I think that it's a spread of institutional investors. You know, central banks traditionally have been more price sensitive. So they buy when the price is low and they sell more when the price is high, or they buy less when the price is high. But one of the things that we saw in the course of 2020 was a lot of central banks buying at 17, 80, 18, 20 per ounce. So what you're seeing is the central banks saying that, you know, as long-term holders of gold, we are more bullish on gold prices than we used to. We used to wait for, you know, we were happy to be buyers at $1,200 2 years ago. When the price started rising in 2020, we kind of sucked wind for a while, but now the price is $1,800 down from $2,000. This is a good price for us to buy as long-term holders. That provides a very stable base, but it doesn't necessarily drive the price higher. What you're looking at for rising prices is a combination of institutional investors and retail investors. You know, and it's interesting because what you'll find is the retail investors are much more important in India, South Asia, Southeast Asia, and China. They're more visible in North America, but you see higher volumes in Asia than you see in North America. And that really has a big effect on the price. They also tend to be more price sensitive than North Americans. So, you know, you'll see that North American investors tend to buy when the price is rising, whereas Asian investors will sometimes wait for the price to pull back before they buy.
So what about in this environment, though, Jeff, where gold has simply moved sideways? What is going to draw them in? Because quite frankly, I do understand some want lower prices, some like to chase prices higher. But is that why the sector's largely ignored, is because the price has mostly just gone sideways?
No, I think the price has largely moved sideways because the factors that drive that investment demand have largely moved sideways. You know, if you look at Chinese investment demand and Indian investment demand, it hasn't been all that strong over the last, say, 24 months. With the lockdown and with the provision, like in India, you had an economic lockdown. You had a very devastating round of COVID. You've had a number of other political problems. The rupee has fallen very sharply. And you also had government support programs that kept investors from selling their gold. You know, traditionally, they would have been selling a lot of gold during the pandemic and the lockdown, but the government provided cash, which kept them from selling the gold. Now you're starting to see Indian investors come back, and investment demand for gold in India is picking up. In China, in contrast, people are still sort of focusing on the stock market, and you've seen investors kind of pull back from gold. There's a greater caution that you're seeing among investors in China right now, not only toward gold, but across the spectrum. And part of it has to do with the problems that you've seen in real estate investments, and part of it has to do with a more broader ennui that Chinese investors and citizens have about where they are today and where the country is going to be tomorrow. You know, there's a sucking of wind, if you will. So you're not seeing very strong commitments to any asset other than cash right now in China. So I think what you've got to see is you've got to see things either change for the better or for the worse in China, and then you'll start seeing investors coming back into gold, and then the price starts rising again.
Jeff, why have the gold stocks been largely ignored? Even the majors, something like Newmont went from highs of about 92 on the Toronto Exchange, pulled back about 30% in just a year. It has rebounded from there, but overall, the large miners, and especially the small guys, the junior explorers, the stocks have been essentially forgotten, put behind investors, even as there is this underlying interest still in the underlying precious metal.
Yeah, we identified, I think, six different things that were keeping gold and other mining stocks from rising as sharply as one would have expected based on historic precedent or experiences. And five of them had nothing to do with gold mining or mining. They had to do with institutional investment demand patterns and shifting investment demand patterns in general. And, you know, the one factor that was there was that you do have a lot of investors who have bought into gold mining companies' shares and have seen them underperform, and they're kind of disillusioned and dissatisfied with investing in gold mining companies. So I think that the gold mining industry, you know, sort of needs to find a way to convince people that they can actually develop returns, capital gains, as well as production and dividends. But the other five factors have to do with shifts within the broader financial markets, where more retail investors are giving their money over to money managers to manage. And those money managers are spending more, they're investing more in ETFs and indexed funds rather than individual companies. And within the institutional investment community, there are cost pressures and their price pressures, and the institutions that feed into the asset managers are saying, wait a second, your fees are too high, you've got to cut your fees. You also have the fact that those indexed funds, basically, over the last 5 years, you know, there have been periods where people managing funds that invest in mining companies and other individual companies have outperformed the index funds. But the index funds, generally speaking, have outperformed managed accounts. So you're finding a shift away from investing in individual companies. It's not mining per se, it's individual companies, especially smaller capital companies. So you're seeing shifts in the financial markets, which are negative for companies that are the smaller companies, as well as the larger companies. Because at the end of the day, if you look at the market cap of even the largest gold mining companies, They're relatively small cap companies compared to other industrial sectors.
Yeah, it's so true. But I think your comments there on money managers, again, chasing other sectors and quite frankly, people not managing their own money, giving their money to money managers, investing in index funds, that has, in a way, left some of the gold stocks, a lot of the gold stocks behind. But you know what? There are still a lot of positive factors, and let's call them fundamentals for precious metals. And even after the recent pop, gold has hung around 1800. You pointed out when we chatted at the tail end of last year that the average price for gold in 2021 was the highest, I believe it had ever been, of any year on average. So gold is still doing okay, but again, it's just not that exciting sector that I guess some investors are looking for. Hey, Jeff, great chatting with you as always. Very interesting to go over some of the key factors that drive gold. We've definitely chatted about them before, but understanding how they all, in a way, play into and correlate with each other is also very important. Jeff, thank you as always for your time, buddy. I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. We look forward to talking to you again soon.